I am just having some lovely internet problems today. I thought I was on a hotspot, but apparently I'm not. There, it's back. So that should let me start recording. There we go. Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Thursday, February 21st, 2019. And so this Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, PSS call. And we have a few people on the line, so let's start with celebrations. Who wants to get us started?
This is Lauren. I'll
Lauren,
go.
You want to get us started? So Julie, sure. Go, and then Lauren, and then Shirey. How about that?
Okay.
Thanks.
Oh, this is Julie. I wasn't quite ready, but I...
Oh, was that... It was not Julie that said that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's okay. I'll go. Things are going smooth for the moment, and we're trying something different with my son's medication because he... So I'll get into that later, but...
because it's complicated.
I'm hopeful that it
right?
will get better. Yeah. Well, I'm hopeful great. Things will get better, but so far, so good.
Brilliant. Awesome. Who else?
This is Lauren. I was just going to celebrate that, I guess in the past couple of weeks, we've had some complicated, challenging teenagery stuff, but I feel like we've been able to talk about it and a fairly rational, productive way, and so I'm thankful for that.
So teenagers are in full force, and you've had some good communication around it.
Yes.
Awesome. Congratulations. And Shirey, what about you?
I would say things are going a lot better with school. Both the kids have had some problems with certain classes, but they've both been doing really well working on that on their own, and honestly, I think it's been the longest time I've ever went without a call or email from a teacher. So
that is what we call success. Okay. Just checking to see if anybody else has joined us, and it looks like it's just us for now, so that's good. I'm going to celebrate strangely that the bad news is my son is home with the flu. The good news is that he's really figured out how to, you know, deal with missing school and getting in touch with his teachers and figuring out what he needs. And so he's out of school, but he's on it, and that's a nice shift. So where do we want to take aim this week? What's on your agenda? Y'all are being very efficient already.
I can go first if you want.
Oh, go ahead.
Go for it.
Oh, no. Me?
Yep. Whoever said I can go first, you go.
Okay, that's me. I actually debated about that because I've been having a hard time with Chloe with, you know, and it's she just turned 13 last week, and you can tell. But anyways, her attitude, but I feel like I have a lot more control over dealing with her than I do with dealing with her and her brother's issues, because it's just the constant fighting. You know, it's like I can control myself. But so when I was trying to think about what to take aim on, I think I'd actually like to focus more on what I could do to help them, maybe, because we're supposed to go on a trip in less than a month, and we can't hardly be in the same room half the time, or they can't be.
So you want to take aim on helping them improve their communication.
Yeah.
Or stop fighting. Or, I mean, be more specific.
That's funny you say be more specific, because I would say not fighting would be great, but I think the root of it is that they both are not very kind to each other. And it goes both ways.
Okay.
So maybe...
So helping them be more kind
helps.
To each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there
that
a particular?
Would help a lot.
I mean, yeah. So that's way more specific, right? Because now what's underlying their bad communication is that they're just not being very nice.
No, they're
right?
not.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Who else?
This is Lauren.
Uh huh.
I think I would like to take aim on managing myself when my son is on the couch for extended periods of time. That's the
yes. So you're reacting to what?
Well, it's a little more than that, than what I just said. But he so he's doing fine in school, which I'm grateful for. He runs track usually, but we're in between seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
yeah.
not doing anything after school, except he comes home at a little bit after 4, and all afternoon and evening he's in the couch in the fetal position. And
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you're going to say, well, why is that a problem? Like, he's doing well in school, and he usually gets plenty of exercise, and, like, he's doing fine. But I just don't know if it's a good idea to be on the couch for, like, 8 hours minus eating dinner. And so we did talk about it today, and I said maybe you can figure out some way to get some kind of movement in your day and do something else that you enjoy. And he said that he would, but I just get triggered when he's sitting there for hours and hours and hours. You know, I mean, he works on his homework, he's on his phone. So I just get triggered, and I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
on one hand, I
so,
see that it's okay, and then on one hand, I see that it's not okay.
Right. So it's managing your triggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like there's you'd like to see him doing something differently, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to accept him and all that, but at the same time, like,
okay.
There's a point where you got to get off the couch, I think.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's managing the trigger, and there's a little shedding the should in there.
Yeah.
Right? And it may be shedding the should, and it may be sort of designing with him around, you know, how it's going to be in the afternoons if he's in between sports seasons, right?
Yes.
So, okay. And who else? There's one more person.
Julie, there.
Hey, Julie.
So for me, I want to take aim somewhere I've taken aim several times, which is my relationship with my daughter. In our house, my son is always there. It feels like there's so often an emergency or something that seems urgent with him that he takes a lot of the energy from everybody in the house. Mm-hmm. And so
yeah.
I need to be more mindful. I would like to be more mindful of spending time with her, focusing on her. You know, even going to Starbucks has been good, but more of that. I need to make an effort to do more of that.
Okay, so you want to take aim on continuing to build your relationship with your daughter?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so let's talk compassion, right? And there was some confusion in the emails, so I believe that our topic for the week is supposed to be compassion. I think we were last time we talked about acknowledging and validating. Is that right?
Yeah.
So does that sound familiar to everybody? I just want to make sure that. Okay. And
yeah,
so
I'm not
this
sure.
Week
I
we're
missed
talk
the last
about
call, but go ahead.
Okay. So this week, well, and it's there to listen to, but this week we'll talk about compassion. All right. And it's that sympathetic concern. It's actually not just feeling sympathetic for someone, but communicating it to them. And your example of you know, getting totally frustrated, Lauren, when he's on the couch is a perfect opportunity, right, to talk about this. Because we get frustrated when our kids act like kids, right?
What was the last
very,
thing
like,
you said?
When they
kids,
act like kids.
But,
what you're
yeah.
describing is really classic teen behavior, right? But we don't want them to behave that way. We want them to choose something differently, and then they don't, and then it makes us crazy, Right. And so a lot of connecting with compassion, and compassion is sort of core to problem solving, right? So imagine that example that if you come to him and sit with your hands on your hips and say, you've got to get off this couch right now, you're going to be coming from a very different place than if you have the conversation you had this morning where you say, look, I know that it's between seasons, and it feels like it can't be healthy. Can we talk about some compromise or what else you might do, right? Yes. When you meet him where he is and let him know you respect his feeling or his situation or his condition, he's going to be feel safer and much more receptive and less controlled, right? And so really bringing compassion, I think this is such a core concept to everything that we talk about. And when we talk about executive function, it's about understanding what their experience is. When we talk about naughty versus neurological, right? So many of our kids have gotten in trouble for so long for, you know, as if they were naughty for their neurological behaviors. And so part of helping them learn to manage and master themselves is to feel compassion for it and help them begin to have some compassion for themselves so that they do feel inspired or motivated or encouraged to try to shift something or change something. I don't know if any of y'all heard, Diane and I did a webinar today about the four roles of the parent. And we talked about the four keys to independence, which we've talked about a lot in this group, right? About whose agenda is it? Who's got ownership? What's the buy-in, right? And we know that as long as it's our agenda, there's only so much progress you're going to make with your kids. It's about helping them see these various activities and things as their agenda. And so for kids, particularly with teenagers, compassion is really key to connecting them to their agenda, because if they don't feel understood and if they don't feel like we hear them or we get them or we appreciate it, they're going to just resist. That's what they're wired to do. And so we want to come at them from a place of trust and love and support so that they don't automatically, like knee-jerk, push us away. And compassion, authentic compassion, right, is a really key and effective way to do that. But again, it has to be authentic. It's if you're pretending to care but you don't really care, that's a whole different story, right? But we want them to be patient with themselves. And it's okay if we let them know we're trying to be patient with them and it can be frustrating for us, right? Even that is compassionate. Even that shows that you're not judging. And I don't know that compassion is the antithesis to the judgment, but it kind of is. I don't know if it is from a literal definition, but if you think about how they stand in relation to each other in this work, you can't really be compassionate if you're standing in judgment. And you can't really, you know, stay out of judgment without some kind of compassion or empathy or understanding. So they really do tie together. So I want to stop there and open up for conversation. What comes up for you guys around this notion of compassion and how it connects us to them and, you know, what is or isn't heard about it?
This is Lauren. I was just going to say that you guys are definitely helping me, and that I think a couple of days ago, I did ask him to get off of the specific space on the couch where he always sits. So I need you to move off of that space, which probably wasn't the best thing. But today I said, I understand that even though you probably would rather watch YouTube videos than to do something else, I would like for you to consider something else you can do. So you guys, it's taking some time, but I think in the past I would have only seen the first way and not the second way.
Awesome.
If that makes
sense. So that totally makes sense. So what was different? How did he respond differently when you took that approach?
He did move off of the one spot, but he wasn't motivated, to do anything else. And I don't know, I guess we'll see today if he actually, he seemed to be open today to like, yeah, I think I'll go to the gym or ride the bike for a little bit. And I mean, he seemed to be open, but when it actually comes time to doing it, I don't know if he will.
Well, he may not. But before he can take action on it, what does he need to do?
He needs to want to take action on it.
Mm-hmm. Or at least decide to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I may not ever want to go to the gym, but I may decide to and own it and step into it and all of that. Right?
Yeah.
So he's got to own it. Right?
But how do I encourage him to... So today he comes home, and I'm sure he's going to need some time after school to, like, decompress. But then I just try to let him do his own thing and see how it goes.
Let's hold that for a minute and come back and do some coaching around it. I want to make sure everybody gets some conversation around the notion of compassion, and then we'll come back and ask that question again. Okay?
Yep.
So who else? Tell me what's coming up for you around compassion.
This is
Shirey.
Okay. Well, I know Elaine knows that my son's been doing some vaping and smoking marijuana, and so I've been trying to remember what it was like back then and trying to remember how I wanted to be cool and I wanted to fit in. And so, you know, these are universal kid issues.
It's just
disappointing that it's my kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have compassion. I have shared that with him. I understand wanting to be, to do things because other people are doing it and it seems cool. So, and I probably 3 years ago would have never said something like that to him. And so I'm grateful too for the changes that I've made, the progress that I've made through this program and these calls. I think it really does change your perspective, and I think it allows us to have compassion for these kids and that where we wouldn't have had it so much before, possibly, you know.
So what has that compassion given you in the dynamic of dealing with this really complex issue?
Some patience and some willingness to listen and try to hear that he says it helps him to focus. Okay, well, I hear you're struggling with your focus. Let's see if there's another option that's legal. But it has just allowed me to listen and where I know I would have just shut down before and just said no, my way or the highway, that's it. So it's good.
I wonder if he would have told you before.
Well, that's, I think, part of his ADHD is that he does blurt things out and he says things maybe to get attention. And so he may still have, but I think he's more willing to share more than he would have been.
Yeah. And Shari, what about you?
Well, I just thought it was so funny because me and Chloe had an argument yesterday. And then after I left the house, because I had at 3:30, I had a Bible study. And it's like, and it came up. And we're on a chapter, we're talking about marriage because she's dating and thinking seriously about it. So we were looking at some of the Bible principles, and I talked about how Jesus was kind and compassionate and what kind of a head he was. And as I was reading that, it just dawned on me, it's like I needed to show more compassion with her. And it's like almost like when you're in the moment, you know that what you're doing is not the best idea, but, you know, you're triggered. And so then today, of course, the top part was about compassion. And I'm like, because that's obviously what I really needed. So even with thinking about that last night when I came home, because she had said that, you know, you know, how many peace because of you. And so we I came home and I said, you know what, Chloe, I said, I'm going to take my part in the argument and responsibility for my part of it. I said, because you're right. I said, it takes both of us to make things unpeaceful. I said, what do you think you could do? And she said, I could take my part. And, you know, for me, that was a big accomplishment for her to even admit. Because in the past, it would be, well, you said you started. And, of course, you know, obviously it started with her doing something she wasn't supposed to do and not listening. But I didn't focus on that aspect. Instead, I said, you know, you're right. It takes two, and I'll take the responsibility for my half. And so that's definitely something I wouldn't have done before. I just would have been like, you're going to do it, whether you like it or not. I don't care what you think. You know what I mean? Just I have a tendency to be very cut and dry and very logical. And so being compassionate sometimes is a little harder for me.
Mm. Well, it really jumped out. I mean, so I love that all three of you, what you're saying is that up until now, part of what you've gotten from the work you're doing in this program is access to be more compassionate, right? Like, so this isn't new information for you because you're already using it and you're seeing the benefit, which I love. And what sort of jumps out with your story is, you know, one of the things you wanted to take aim on was your kids being kinder to each other, right?
Right.
So what's the relationship between kindness and compassion?
I think it's hard
for
to
anybody.
Be kind
I mean,
to somebody.
I don't mean to put you on the.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you
no,
on the
spot. No, that's
fine.
I'm
opening this to anybody.
I would think it'd be hard to be kind to somebody that you don't have compassion for. I think it kind of goes hand in hand.
Ooh. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on it?
I think they go both ways. Like, kindness needs compassion, and compassion needs kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really hard to be authentically, truly kind to someone if you don't feel for what you're offering, right? And you have to have a certain amount of generosity to feel compassion. Right? When we express compassion, what are we giving our kids? What's the gift?
Understanding?
Just so you know, I don't know the answer to the question. I'm just asking a question. Right?
I was thinking
we're hearing that.
Yeah, so I heard somebody say understanding. What else?
Yeah, that they're being heard.
Okay, we're giving them the gift of being heard.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching them how to show it.
Yep, so we're modeling and teaching them. Teaching for them. Modeling for them and teaching them. Anything else?
Hi. Did you find what you were looking for?
So there's something about showing compassion. It's not just a vehicle, right, to get them to do something or even to improve the communication, but it's really a gift. It's really giving them kindness. It's demonstrating a sense of, I see you.
I see you.
Keep thinking of, you remember Avatar when she would say, I see you, right? Like, there was a quote from, I can't remember who it was, my husband quotes it all the time. It says, being listened to is so profound for people that it gives them the feeling and the experience of being loved. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing that jumps out at me about our kids is that, you know, you're all on this call because you've got a kid who is having a hard time with some parts of life or learning. Right? It's not coming easy to them. And so when you feel for that, help them sort of feel kindness to themselves about it, because there's a lot of messages they give themselves about the fact that they struggle, right? They beat themselves up. They feel like they should. They're not good enough. It's never going to be good enough. There's all kinds of messages that they give to themselves that damages their self-esteem, right? And really prevents them from being fully present and being able to take responsibility. So compassion also sort of is an access for them to accept themselves. So what else is coming up around this? What makes it hard?
I would say
I think what makes it hard.
We all keep talking at the same time. Go ahead.
I know.
Well, it's funny because you're all pausing and processing and then, like, boom, right? So,
yeah.
Julie, go ahead, and we'll dance on each other.
Okay. I was just thinking that well, gosh, now I don't know. Go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
I said, what makes it hard?
So, because we have life experience and because we see what comes on the other side of teenagerhood, that's, you know, you want so much for them to make those good choices. And so it's hard not sometimes to judge and sometimes to say, no, you know, that's the wrong thing and you can't be doing that. And so it just, I think that experience of life makes it hard to watch them go down a bad path.
Well, and I think I hear underneath that there's fear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
So when we're afraid of what's going to happen, it's hard to feel the compassionate because you want to stop it, right?
Yep. Definitely want to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else was going to say something about, is it hard?
I was. Shirey, I was just going to say sometimes our expectations make it really difficult because you just feel like they should get something or understand it. Or maybe you've been over it a million times and they get it and then the next day they don't. And it's a huge issue with my husband, and he struggles more than I do because he's not trying to go through the process like I am. He'll kind of listen, but he's just not, has a harder time with changing his expectations than I do. He just expects a lot. And so then you're constantly disappointed when you don't get what you're expecting.
Yeah. Well, right, because we set ourselves up for that disappointment, right?
Right.
Right. I was talking with a client this morning that's sort of where he is with his wife. And, you know, she's doing some of the classic things that we've all done, right? If you love me, you would bring it up. If you love me, you would do this. You know, like all of those things. And we said, and the truth is that she's setting herself up for disappointment again and again and again. Because some of them are, you know, fair to ask for in the long term, but a lot of them are not really realistic expectations immediately. And we do the same thing with our kids. I mean, and we've talked about it, like, you know, is it a reasonable expectation for a 14-year-old to say, you're right, Mom, I am worried about my health and my long-term and my lungs and my, like, you're right, when I'm 73, I might have, you know, like, they're just, it's not reasonable.
It's not.
So part of compassion is meeting them where they are now and what they feel now, without using that rational brain to try to justify what we want them to think about later. Right? So, and this is just in for me. I think compassion is in the feeling realm as opposed to some of the other things we talk about that are in more the action realm, right? Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on this realm?
I would say, because you mentioned about how the compassion is the filling realm, it just makes me think how much, you know, your actions are driven by your thoughts. So you have to, sometimes we have to retrain our thinking, and it's so hard because you go back to the same, you know, default or place you were before, because that's the pattern of thinking that you've developed, and it's like trying to change that. I don't know if that's why it's so difficult for me, but, and that's why it's hard sometimes to show the kindness.
Here's what's jumping out for me, right, is that the thoughts, there's actually a feeling behind it. So our thoughts actually come from the
right.
feelings. So if you're
right.
feeling afraid he's not going to amount to anything, or afraid he's never going to learn, or afraid she's going to, you know, be mean, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
The thought, you then go to the thought of, so therefore she has to X. But the truth is what really is going on is that I feel afraid that, or worried that, or concerned. Or angry that, or whatever.
Right.
So let's look at some of the places you've taken aim today, okay? So, Julie, it's about continuing to build a relationship with your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren, it's about managing your triggers and shedding the should when your son's... And maybe there's some other pieces, but it's in terms of navigating it, but when your son's on the couch. And Shirey, it's about helping your kids be more kind to each other. So when you look at your place where you're taking aim, just in the context of the conversation we've had, what's coming up so far?
Would you want me to go and talk all at once again?
Sure.
Okay, I was just thinking how just having this conversation makes me, you know, I think yesterday back to me and Chloe's argument and some of the responses that I gave to her, it's like, I guess because at the beginning of the conversation, I felt like I said I had more control over how I dealt with Chloe than the two of them together, but the truth is that I can model and show that, and there's possibility that that might change how they are with each other. And I think
mm-hmm.
it's just, for me, it's more realizing how I have a lot more control than maybe what I want to admit or give credit for. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope that they'll respond to that, but I know that's the part of it that I have control over, if that makes sense.
Well, and it
and
makes
keep
it
reminding
does, definitely
myself
makes
of that.
And it makes me think of the whole notion of the tone of the home, right?
Right.
If you're setting a tone in the home that is judgy or snarky or short-tempered or whatever it is, and I'm not accusing you, I'm just saying theoretically, right?
Well, sometimes yes.
Right, but if that's what we're creating, then that's how they're going to treat each other.
Right.
Because that's what they've learned is the tone in the home. That's the tone in the home permeates everything, right? So if you begin to shift the tone to one that's more compassionate and understanding, and the other thing I hear you saying in the conversation you had was real transparency, was taking ownership of your mistake, being okay with making a mistake, and being transparent about it, right? That's huge. And then that's what they'll begin to model and see modeled for them and begin to step into. And as you do that, there's also a more sort of an overt way to begin to encourage it. Like you can model it, but you can also be transparent and share and say, I realize that I haven't been very or whatever, and I'm really working on this more, and I'm going to ask everybody to work on it with me because I think we would all be happier if we were a little nicer to each other.
Right.
And if you lead that instead of you two need to be nicer to each other, right, if you start with, I realize that I've been snippy, and that's not how I want our family to talk to each other, their buy-in to it will be very different.
Right. That makes sense.
Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it does.
The language also around that, that they may be a little old for it, but maybe not, that I used to use when my kids were younger was when somebody would say something snippy, instead of getting snippy in response, I would say, do you have a nicer way to say that? Or do you have a different way to say that?
I mean, I think that would still work.
Okay. Just very matter-of-factly, and you can tell them, if you're going to sort of come clean and be transparent and say, hey, I'm going to try to be nicer and I want y'all to too, you can say, so is it okay with you if when I hear somebody saying something kind of snippy that I ask, that I say that or ask that, just in, as we're all learning to make this change. If you
yeah.
get their buy-in to being nicer to each other before you redirect them, you'll have a better response.
Okay.
Who else?
This is Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming up for me is just how important compassion is, not only for our kids, but for ourselves also.
Ooh. Yeah.
And how if things don't go exactly how you wanted them to go, that's okay, and you can own up to it and try it again.
Mm-hmm. So what in particular is bringing that up for you?
I don't know, just because I don't think anything in particular, just that like this parenting stuff is really hard and we're not going to get it right a lot of the time, and that to be kind to ourselves too is important.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm especially hard on myself if I didn't do something how I would have liked to or how I wish that I did. So I just think it's important for everyone.
Yeah, I think for sure. Well, and so here's what's coming up for me, and I know it's a segue back, but when you think about your son on the couch, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the messages you're telling yourself?
That, well, it's fear that when he goes off to college that he's going to sit on the couch the whole time.
So because my next question was going to be what's the feeling behind it, and you just jump straight to it.
Yeah,
so his,
that I want
him sitting on the couch, right?
Have some motivation to get off the couch and go do something else with himself. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Right. So there's this fear that he won't, right? Which we all have. So what's the compassion you have for your 17-year-old kid? Tell me about what you're compassionate about for the 17-year-old kid. Is he junior or senior?
He's a junior.
Bless his heart. Okay.
I am compassionate that he works hard.
Junior year. Yep.
I'm compassionate that he works hard. He's taking challenging classes. He runs a lot. And I'm compassionate that he, some downtime is healthy and fine for him.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Right. I was going to say, so can you go there without a bus?
I know. And
so,
I want him to also do some other things with him, with himself.
Okay, but,
and,
okay, so when you say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I was doing well for a little while.
You were doing there great there for a minute, right? But then, right, and I mean, I'll never forget my daughter said to me, "You're saying yes, Anne, but you really mean no, but." Like, okay, right? So you do acknowledge that he's working really hard. It's junior year. He's got a lot of hard classes. During season, during sports seasons, he's really active. And he needs some downtime. Right? All
yeah.
true. Okay. And what else is also true?
That there's a dent in the couch from where he sits there all the time. That's
right.
true.
Okay, so maybe it's because he's messing up your furniture.
No, I don't really care about that. I just really, want him to be motivated himself.
Okay, so here's what you're collapsing. You're saying if he's not getting himself up and activated during this time frame, then therefore he's not going to be motivated when he gets to college to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's catastrophizing.
Yes, right? I do that.
Okay. So let's talk. So that's possible that that's true. What else is also possible that it's true?
That he won't do that.
Okay. So it's possible that he, when he gets to school, there'll be so much interesting stuff going on that
mm-hmm.
he's going to be engaged. Okay. So let's go back to you for a minute, right? So right now you have compassion for the fact that he needs some downtime. And
mm-hmm.
what do you want for him? Not what do you want him to do. What do you want for him?
I want him to be motivated, a motivated person.
For what purpose?
So that he can live his life outside of the couch. And
what
do other things.
What do you want him to do is live his life on a couch?
I'm sorry, what did
you say? Think that's even possible? What
for
if
him
what
to
he
do
really
that.
Wants to do? Is just be a couch potato. Do you think that that's really what he wants?
No, I don't think so.
What does he really want?
Maybe
what
sometimes,
is,
but not all the time.
Right.
What do I think he really wants?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of downtime.
Okay. Great. And?
Probably for
what you want, I'm hearing.
Bug him about getting off of the couch.
Well, there's that too. What I'm hearing is that you want him to have his downtime, and you want
in
him
moderation.
Right. You want him to not get stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That you want him to have other things that he's also interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a significant part of the year that's the case.
Yes, that's accurate.
Okay. So how much of this is really about your fear?
Probably a lot of it.
Okay.
And I think it stems from the fact that when he's busy, he's fine, but then, okay, sorry about the butt. And when he's not, he just literally sits there.
Okay. Well, he's not just sitting there staring at the paint.
No, he's not doing that.
Right? What if you, so I want to give you a little homework.
Okay.
Will you take it?
Yes.
First of all, ask him if you can join him on the couch.
Okay.
And sit down with him and get curious. Find out what is he doing in all this time.
He's watching these.
No. Don't tell
okay.
me. Ask him.
Okay.
Okay. Now, it may be that he's only binge-watching reruns of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It, more than likely, he is doing a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you find out what he's actually doing in this time?
Okay.
What skills is he using? What creativity is he expressing? What interests is he fulfilling? And you don't have to stay
okay.
with him for 4 hours. But how much has he spent a little time with him on the couch?
Okay.
My bet is it's been a long time since you sat down on the couch and put your feet up.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Well, and asked him, like, specifically what he's... I mean, I say occasionally, what are you doing, but not really in depth. So, yes, that's fair.
Well, I guess what I'm also saying is go sit down and put your feet up. Pour yourself something to drink, a cold glass of water, a cup of tea, whatever it is. Sit down and put your feet up and sit with him for a few minutes.
Okay.
And give yourself a little rest, too. And remember what that feels like, because it's probably been a long time since you've sat down and given yourself a rest. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just notice. Spend a little time getting curious about him and give yourself a little bit of self-care on the couch.
And what if he's like, stop, I'm just looking at my texting, and what if he doesn't want me?
Well, just ask for permission. Say, give me 15 minutes. I need to sit down and put my... He can't own the family room, right? Like, so...
No, but just looking at what he's doing.
So say, I'd like to... Can I come hang out with you for 15 minutes?
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Design it. What I want to help you do is to stop demonizing the couch.
Okay.
And stop focusing on what you don't want and get curious enough to begin to figure out what you actually do want.
Okay.
For him. Okay? Can you just play
with
that a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Julie, what about you?
A couple things that Lauren was saying were hitting me about the compassion for myself, because the beginning of the call, the first half of the call, I was beating myself up for not making more of an effort with my daughter. How come I don't go into her room to just hang out with her? And when you were talking at the end about sitting on the couch, her sitting on her couch with her son, I could just go and sit with Parker and we can... You know, what is she doing? What draws you to kind of hibernate in your bedroom so much? What is it that you're doing that makes you like doing this? Because I want her to come out and spend time with her family, and it's more comfortable for me out there, and so I just don't go into her room a whole lot. And so it's interesting, like, having compassion for myself that it's okay that maybe you haven't done things that you wish you had. So it's okay, Julie. You know, we can always try better, do better tomorrow. On the one hand, and on the other hand, just spend some time doing what they want to do and sit with them for a while. And you can connect that way, even though it seems boring to me. It's interesting to her. And so why? Maybe there's something in there for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
But I
do
a lot of that beating myself up.
Well, so the first part of what that piece, here's what I want to say. Beating yourself up for something you did based on the information you had at that time because of information you have now is tantamount to self-abuse. I'm not sure if I said that as clearly as I'd like. But you now know you've had this conversation today that has you saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe I should go to her, right?
Right.
Which is a new aha today. So
on some level,
beating yourself up for not having done it in the past because you figured it out today, it's just not fair to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and in all of this, every day we try to do better the next day because every day is challenging. And, I could kick myself for 100 different things, but that serves no purpose.
And it doesn't move you forward, right?
What's that?
And it doesn't move you forward.
No. No.
So So let's sort of bring the conversation to a close. I want everybody to sort of ask, what was I focusing on today? And what's my takeaway? What's your aha or your gem or your clarity, whatever it is? What had your focus? What are you kind of realizing in this moment? And then if you want, what's your commitment to action? And how do you want to set yourself up for success with it?
This is Julie, and I'll go. Like I said at the beginning of the call, I was beating myself up about all the times that I didn't go spend time with my daughter. But as the call goes on, it's like it's okay. We all do things that maybe we shouldn't have done and try to do better today and try to do better next time. And that's all I can do. And so that's that self-compassion. And my action step is I will, tonight or tomorrow, depending on how it all looks, I will go and sit with Parker. I'll even maybe set a timer on my phone so I give it the full 15 or 20 minutes. Even if I'm bored out of my mind, I will try my hardest and just sit with her and get to know her in her space.
Ooh, I love that. Well, and didn't she, like, redo her room or something? Do I remember that?
It's been a little bit, but yeah, we did redo her room.
I know.
Yeah.
Didn't you redo her room, like, last summer or something?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Or whenever
yeah.
it was. So it might be kind of cool to say, you know, to sort of check in and say, how's it working?
Yeah.
You know, if you find yourself getting a little bored and you're not sure, like, y'all spend a bunch of time in that space or talking
right.
about that space. It might be interesting
yeah.
to sort of follow up on that.
That's a good idea.
Just a thought. Cool. I love the timer. That's great. Who else? Lauren or Shirey, what were you focusing on? What's your takeaway? What's your commitment?
Shirey, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Go ahead.
So I am going to focus on my homework. And one thing came up for me, I think when Julie was talking about her room, is that your daughter's room, one of our rules is that they're not supposed to have their phones upstairs. And so by my son sitting on the couch, he's actually respecting me by not being
Ooh.
Upstairs.
Wow.
So I think that will be helpful for me to stop demonizing the couch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's never once complained. My daughter does, but he's never once complained about, he's never once, like, thrown it up to me, like, I wouldn't be on the couch if you would let me have it upstairs. And so I still think can have a conversation
yeah.
about other things he can do, but it'll help me a little bit to stop demonizing it.
Right. That's what I hear is stop demonizing the couch. It's the takeaway. And also to focus on what you want instead of what you don't want.
Yes.
Right.
I will
move
do that.
Towards instead of move away from.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that you got a 17-year-old on his phone or whatever, you know, on the couch, whatever he's doing, he's able to do in a public space at 17.
Yeah,
that's not so
that's
bad.
That's huge.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's just something to be said for that, so there's a celebration for you.
Yeah.
Just thought. Cool. Shirey, what about you?
I think I'll like the idea of sitting down with the kids and having a conversation about it and kind of getting their buy-in. They're still young enough emotionally that they still need, encouragement or cues. And so that's why I think that they would probably do fine with me saying, is there a nicer way you could say that? Because they both struggle with impulse issues.
Yeah.
And so I think they kind of to meet them where they're at, I think they really need that. But that also means that I'm going to have to work harder on owning up to my side of it. And, you know, if I'm telling them not to be, you know, critical or curt or whatever, then I've got to work on that myself. So that way I can hopefully work on changing the tone of things. And I do believe that starts with, like you said, with the feelings I have behind these things. And so I might have to work more on maybe just being aware of what I'm feeling in those moments so that I can learn to show the compassion. Maybe if I become more aware, I guess, then that would be part of the puzzle.
Well, I love that, you know, this becomes an accountability for you, and that, you know, as you become clear on what those emotional blocks are, you can shift that tone in the home, right? And just I want to remind you the concept of the design. I know we've talked about it occasionally, but the design, there's two pieces to the design. There's the gift and the ask. You always start with the gift. Here's what you can count on me for, and then you make the ask. So it may be, you know, you guys can count on me to be to really pay attention to this and to be trying really hard to be a little less curt and a little more kind. And what I want to ask you guys is to join me in this, and let's see if we can begin to shift this and be nicer to each other or whatever. I don't want to script it for you, but the design lets you have these kinds of conversations without putting people on the defensive when you start with the offer first. And there's an article on the site called Relationships by Design that sort of explains the process to you.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, everybody. You guys are amazing. Thank you for your flexibility at the beginning of the call when I screwed up. And as always, it's great to be with you. And I'm inspired by who you are as parents and what you're and the work you're doing. And I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Take care,
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.